Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is America on the Road, named Best Radio Show by the International Automotive Media Conference, and now in its 30th year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. I'm Jack Nierad. With me is Chris Teague. Chris, it's so good to see you. Good to talk to you.
Good to see you too, Jack. How are things in your world?
I think better than yours. You've got a ton of snow. I saw all kinds of horrible things going on there, I guess.
Yeah, just as I was getting ready for spring, too, I'd already pulled out the shorts from the closet.
There you go. Well, you never know. Weather changes, doesn't it? Leading the news this week, we've got some pretty cool stuff. Jeep has pulled the wraps off four fascinating concept vehicles in Moab in Utah there. We'll tell you about them. Volkswagen is on the verge of launching an all-new battery electric vehicle brand in the United States. That's really good timing, I think, and we'll have the details on that. Maybe it is good timing. We'll see. I hate to be snide. At the same time, American auto dealers are very upset about the recent Environmental Protection Agency regulations that will require dealers to sell a very high percentage of EVs by 2032. They say the regulations leave consumers out of the equation. We'll have details, our comments, certainly. I'm sure we'll both comment on that. Kia's just introduced an all-new vehicle, the K4, at the New York Auto Show, and we'll tell you what it is, what it replaces, and give you our reaction to that coming up. So there's a lot to talk about, isn't there, Chris?
There is. It's exciting.
It is an exciting week in the auto industry. Major car show going on and all that kind of stuff. Let's do a little business here. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com, EMLancey.com, the publisher of my latest book, Dance in the Dark, and, of course, Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should switch to Mercury for your auto and home insurance. Californians save an average of $670 with Mercury, so imagine how much you could save. Get a quote today at drivingtoday.com/auto insurance. That's drivingtoday.com/auto-insurance. And as you longtime listeners know, Chris lives at one end of the country, part of the country where it snows and it's ice and it's horrible. I live at the other, not so bad here. Each week we get together to talk about cars, the car industry, and how you can save some money on your car. And of course, we also road test a couple of vehicles. And Chris, you're road testing a vehicle I think may be perfect for the weather you're experiencing. What is that?
Yeah, it had the wrong tires on it for the condition, but I was driving the 2024 Subaru Ascent. It's an all-wheel drive, 7-passenger SUV. I can't wait to tell you all about it.
Well, I can't wait to hear all about it. And my test car this week is the 2024 Genesis G70. I had it in Sport Prestige trim, a very, very nice car, so we'll talk about that. Our special guest is Mike Evanoff. He's product planner at Hyundai. He'll be telling us about the all-new 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. I got a chance to drive that recently and chat with him, so we'll have that interview for you. And there's a ton of show, so stay with us for that, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road with Chris Teague. This is Jack Nierad back with you for the latest news from around the world. And Jeep, of course, has a big gathering out in Moab, Utah about this time every year, and it's a terrific time. Moab is a very, very cool place to go, and I think, Chris, you've probably been out there, right?
Yeah, I've been out there a few times for various events and whatnot. I haven't actually had a chance to go wheeling out there, so maybe that's a bucket list experience.
Yeah, you definitely should do that because it's a perfect place to do that. A lot of cool stuff, and of course, they gather a bunch of the Jeep aficionados, the Jeep fans, 20,000 of them in one place in Moab right about this time. So it's a great place to launch Jeep concept vehicles, and they've taken the opportunity to throw four separate, very cool concepts out there, very different concepts, but I'll run you through them very rapidly here. There's the Jeep Wrangler Lowdown concept. It actually is kind of a bow to a concept that they introduced in 2009. The Lower 40 is what they called it. It has a 392 V8 engine. So Well, whether that's good or not, we'll have to see. The Jeep Wrangler 4xe Willys Dispatcher concept has the plug-in hybrid powertrain, but a lot of nostalgia in it. And you know, it's perhaps my favorite among these four. There's two that I like maybe better than the other two, but that shows you who I am. Then there is a Jeep Gladiator-based high-topped concept that is pretty cool, based on, of course, their Jeep pickup truck. And then the Jeep Grand Wagoneer-based vacationer concept, which is one of these off-road kind of overlanding vehicles. Very, very cool. Both of those have six-cylinder power, a 3.6-liter Pentastar V6 in the Gladiator, of course, and the super cool Hurricane Twin Turbo 510 in the Vacationer. I think this is pretty cool stuff. I'm a little concerned, though, that anything with a V8 engine is very unlikely to see the light of day from Jeep these days, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, Jeep's used this weekend event to do some really wild things in the past. I think they've shown off at least one electric Wrangler or some similar concept in the past. So, you know, I think these are, some of these features may make it into the Jeep aftermarket's part catalog. I think that might be one of the things that we would see. The lowdown concept is my favorite. I think even though it's got the 392 V8, the interior and the bronze wheels with the beadlock, it just looks really, really cool.
Yeah, I like it too. Although I do like this Dispatcher concept, and I like these alloy wheels that are pretending to be steel wheels, right? I think that's really kind of cool in a way, because I like that look. I kind of like that really retro look of the light-colored steel wheels. They're called Steelies, but they are made of alloy. Pretty cool, so that's neat. And I love the Willys lettering embossed on the sides of the hood. That takes me back very far, very, very far. This has the plug-in hybrid propulsion system with 375 horsepower, so that is super modern. I like that kind of combination, actually. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like the 4xe powertrain is really cool. It's a little complicated. It sounds very complicated when you're driving it, but the fact that you can get that in such a hardcore off-road SUV is very cool.
Yeah. I do like the Gladiator pickup truck. I'm kind of surprised I don't see more of them, but what they've done with this high-top concept is make it even kind of brawnier, if you can imagine, and I think that's probably a good thing. And it has the Pentastar V6 engine, the tried and true. And then the Vacationer concept, this is an overlanding vehicle with including a place to sleep over the roof. I think that's kind of cool too. I've never actually done that. Have you ever spent time, like spent a night on top of your vehicle?
Yeah, when I was growing up, my uncle had an old Blazer that we had outfitted with a roof tent and some other things. So definitely really cool. I mean, you know, you kind of disorienting when you walk and you wake up and you look out and you're not on the ground in a tent.
Yeah.
So, but this concept, the color, the interior, everything looks really cool.
I'd be afraid I'd go out the tent door and fall down that 6 feet and, you know, break my neck or something like that. But otherwise, this is pretty cool stuff. Let's switch over to this purported Volkswagen launch of a new electric vehicle brand in the United States, the Cupra, based on something that they're putting together from Seat, another Volkswagen subsidiary, kind of a low-price subsidiary in Europe and I think sold in South America, other places. What's your overall take on this? This kind of took me by surprise. Volkswagen hasn't been doing particularly well with their electric vehicles here in the United States. I think they're pretty good vehicles, but they don't seem to be selling very well. What's your thoughts about this?
I was pretty surprised until I saw how they plan on doing it. You know, they already have a lot of the production infrastructure here in North America. They're going to be able to build these things in Mexico. And the two vehicles they're going to bring, I think, you know, they're going to appeal to the American market. Cupra is kind of the performance brand of Seat. So it's been one of those companies that I've kind of watched from afar, wishing we could get some of their vehicles here. I wasn't really praying for electric vehicles of these types to come here, but, you know, they look cool.
Yeah. Well, we wish them luck on that. That would be cool to see. We like consumer choice, of course, very much. The dealers, though, American car dealers are pretty much up in arms over the most recently announced EPA regulations, what they say. I think it was the chairman of AIADA, the Import Auto Dealers Association, who I could quote here. His name is Anthony Brownlee. He's not really happy with these regulations, even though he calls them slightly toned down from the previous proposal. They're still going to call for 56% of vehicles, new passenger cars and trucks sold in the U.S. to be all electric by 2032. That's a pretty high standard when we're looking at about 8% of vehicles being electric right now. I mean, comments on that, Chris?
Yeah, you know, it is a little toned down. These the rules that are coming out now are a little toned down from before. I can see, you know, the roadmap here doesn't necessarily compute from a buyer or from a seller standpoint. If you're looking at the market share, the pricing that these cars carry now and the infrastructure behind them, there's a lot of skepticism, and rightly so. I'm all for electrification, not necessarily all EVs taking charge to lower emissions, but I think that, you know, there's cause for concern when you look at least what's going on today, unless there's a significant change between now and, let's say, 2028. The 2032 goal is a little bit ambitious.
Yeah, I think it's very, very ambitious. And, you know, the dealers are caught in the middle. They're kind of forced to sell vehicles as the car companies are forced to sell vehicles to an unreceptive public. So we'll see how that goes. Well, we'll see how whether the public is receptive to the all-new 2025 Kia K4, which is essentially, I think, the replacement for the Kia Forte, their compact vehicle. And this is a cool-looking vehicle. What's your quick take on this one?
Yeah, Kia made sure that their small car doesn't look boring, right? So it's one of those cars that, you know, you're going to look at it and say it looks more expensive than it is, and I actually can't wait to drive it. You know, Kia's done a pretty good job. The K5 drives fantastically, even in the not-so-sporty trims, so I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be a good price, and if it's a good price, it'll be great.
Yeah, the Forte, I think, was one of those hidden gems out there that had really good performance for a fairly low price, and now it's got the looks kind of to go with it. It looks much more premium, so I think it's going to do well. I think they've got something here.
I agree.
Yeah. And when we come back, we will be road testing some pretty cool vehicles, including the Subaru Ascent and the Genesis G70. So stay with us for that, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road with Mr. Jack and Red back with you, and it is road test time. And we are road testing some really interesting vehicles, including the Subaru Ascent, and I was driving the Genesis G70 in rear-wheel drive form. There also is an all-wheel drive version. This one had the bigger engine, which is cool. But Chris, tell us about the Ascent. You had weather in which to test this, didn't you?
I did. And you know what's funny about the Ascent is my wife is a big Subaru fan. And before we bought our Volvo XC90, we were actually shopping for the Ascent. That was what she wanted to buy. But there was not the color combination anywhere within driving distance that she wanted. So I was like, let's just go drive an XC90 and the rest is history. But it's a fantastic SUV. I was driving the 7-seat touring version. Subaru sells this thing in several configurations, starting with the right around $36,000 base model. The mid-range Onyx Premium Edition is like $43,000, and my touring was just over $50,000 with options and everything. But, you know, for the interior space of this thing and, you know, it being Subaru's largest vehicle, I think, you know, a lot of that price is justified. Jack, when was the last time you drove the Ascent, and what do you think about it?
Boy, it's been a long time. I don't know if I even have an opinion it's been that long. my sense is that maybe it's a three-row vehicle, right? And the third row seemed to be tight to me. That's my major takeaway from this vehicle, as I remember.
Well, interestingly, I'll get into the story a little bit later, but when we were driving it, I took my neighbors to dinner. We had three adults and four kids in the car and three across in the third row seat because it has captain's chairs in the middle. And granted, they were children, but nobody complained. So maybe they just enjoyed being crammed together and bouncing around back there. Who knows? But Subaru equips a turbocharged 2.4-liter four-cylinder engine and a continuously variable transmission. It's got 260 horsepower, 277 pound-feet of torque. It's around 7 seconds to 60 miles an hour. So, you know, for a family SUV, that's acceptable. But I would not buy this expecting to get any degree of thrilling acceleration. In fact, the continuously variable transmission lets the engine whine, especially under heavier throttle. It just hits a high RPM and it stays there. Which is pretty characteristic of CVTs. So no surprises there, but no thrills in the driving department. The ride quality is great. The all-wheel drive jack is fantastic in the snow. I mentioned it had the wrong tires earlier. It has all-season tires, so you know I guess that's okay for a lot of people. I tend to run winter tires even with all-wheel drive here just because things can get kind of crazy. Subaru's symmetrical all-wheel drive means that it's not front biased or rear biased. It's, you know, both. And so it actually does a good job in the snow, and no problems there. The pockmarked roads from the plows the next day after the storm, it rolls over them, no problems. And in general, it's just a very comfortable riding SUV. You know, it's pretty relaxing. And I think that's what people want. Parents aren't really looking to, a lot of parents, I should say, I do, but a lot of parents aren't really looking to hot rod with their three-row SUV. And I think this is perfect for that. Inside, as I mentioned, it's got seven seats. You can get this as an eight-seat SUV with a middle bench. Mine had the second row captain's chairs with leather upholstery, heated and ventilated front seats, heated second row seats. These seats and the leather that coats them feel nicer than what I would see in other Subaru models. I don't know that it's necessarily all that different. It just feels very nice inside. And the seats are well padded, very supportive, and there's plenty of room in the first two rows. The third row seat, as you mentioned, is a little tight, but we were able to get three kids back there in booster seats, I might add. So there is the possibility of, you know, having some serious family hauling chops here. If you need to haul seven people, you can do that without any real problems or complaints. Subaru's infotainment, Jack, I know a lot of people talk about it being easy to use. It just doesn't do it for me. It's clunky. It's slow. The Ascent now has an 11.6-inch touchscreen, so it's a huge portrait-oriented touchscreen that puts a lot of information. All of the heated seats, climate controls, like everything is in the screen, and it's just a little clunky and hard for me to learn, even after having driven several Subarus. What do you think? Have you experienced the Subaru infotainment system recently?
Yeah, I have, and it rings a bell, and it kind of sounds like the Volvo system, doesn't it? There's a lot of parallels, and I think Volvo buyers and Subaru buyers are kind of, in a lot of ways, the same people, right? And so maybe this is just a coincidence. That's what it probably is, but I think there's a lot of similarities between the two infotainment systems. Neither one is particularly easy to use, and as you say, so much of the stuff is crammed into the screen.
Yeah, and the Subaru, there's so much lag between when you start the vehicle and when you can actually do something with the screen, but when you incorporate climate controls, audio, everything into the touchscreen, they need to work as soon as you start the car, because the volume's too loud, or you're blowing cold air in your face when it's 10 degrees outside, or, you know, any number of things. And I just found myself poking at the screen, trying to get it to do something. And then when it did like 50 things at once, trying to catch up with all the touches that I had done. So it was really like dealing with a computer in like the mid-90s, late-90s. You know, you kind of get kind of frustrated after a while. But there's plenty of features here, Jack. It's got wireless Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. It's got a Wi-Fi hotspot, Bluetooth, SiriusXM radio, HD radio. So the full suite of entertainment features here. I just wish that there was something they could do with either the processor or the interface here to speed things up a little bit and make it a little bit more responsive, because there's a lot of information there. It just needs to come at you a little bit faster. So
yeah.
Subaru equips a huge line of driver assistance features for the Ascent. It's got a 5-star NHTSA overall crash test rating. It's got 4 collision warnings, automated emergency braking, adaptive cruise control, lane departure warning, lane keep assist. My top trim model also had a blind spot monitoring, safe exit assist, and a slew of other things that this vehicle has definitely got peace of mind for family. So, you know, I think $50,000 is a little high. I might opt for a lower trim level of this vehicle, but you know, man, what a great family hauler if you can deal with a few of the quirks.
Yeah, exactly true. I like it a lot. And it makes a lot of sense to me. I was driving in a vehicle I like a lot too, and that is the Genesis G70. Essentially a BMW 3 Series competitor, and that's tough thing to compete with. That's a vehicle a ton of us like. There's some new things for 2024. They have a new base powertrain, 2.5-liter turbo powertrain. They add Brembo brakes as standard equipment. That's fairly cool. The base model has 300 horsepower. I was driving the 3.3T Sport Prestige, which is an up-level model, with rear-wheel drive, which was perfect. It was super fun for me to kind of play with that kind of sports car-like handling with rear drive. I like that. Many of us like all-wheel drive too, but in this case, rear-wheel drive was perfect. This is a really good vehicle that has been upgraded for 2024 in very intelligent ways. I think it isn't maybe the sportiest of the sedans in this category, but I think it does a lot of things really, really well, including luxury. The interior is really kind of startlingly upscale with diamond pleated leather seating and that kind of stuff. The rear seats are a bit tight for average sized people, So you have that to watch out for. In a lot of ways, it kind of a two-seat, well, it's not really a two-seat car. You can put five people in here if you need to. But largely for two people, it's terrific and just so much fun to drive. As I say, this had the Sport Prestige package on top of the larger engine or the more powerful engine. Started around $50,000. Has a 365 horsepower, 3.3 liter twin turbo V6, 19 inch wheels, dual exhaust, variable ratio steering, the aforementioned leather upholstery that I liked a lot. It's a good looking vehicle inside and fun to drive. When you add this Prestige package, you get a limited slip differential, the electronically controlled adaptive suspension, even higher grade Napa leather, heated steering wheel, surround view monitor, a bunch of good stuff. I mean, this is just a really, really nice car to drive. There's nothing that irritated me about it. It was easy to get Apple CarPlay synced up and that operating correctly. It does use USB-A connection as opposed to USB-C. And I know that's a pet peeve of one Chris Teague. I have some of those old cords, so it's not such a problem for me, but I guess you could niggle about the fact that it's got 11 cubic foot trunk space, which is pretty tiny. Actually, some of the competitors have almost twice as much trunk space, or a third as much anyway. I like the way the infotainment system worked. It was very intuitive. As I say, it was easy to connect. You get a 15-speaker Lexicon surround sound audio system when you have the Sport Prestige. So all in all, I think this is a heck of a value. I think this is really nipping at the heels of all the German luxuries of that size.
Yeah, you know, Hyundai Genesis pulled in a few designers and engineers from the German side of the world, and it really shows. The G70, you know, you mentioned the back seat is a little tight, the trunk is tight, but fantastically drive, a wonderfully driving car, I guess I should say. The interior is very nice. I think the styling is great. So I had no complaints when I drove it, other than that it's not very conducive to having kids. So, you know, I think that this is probably a younger person's car, but man, what a great driving car, if I can spit that out.
Yeah, I really liked it. And this kind of price, I think it's one heck of a competitor against the others in the category. I mean, if you can get by the fact that it's a Genesis and, you know, not a BMW, doesn't have the Mercedes-Benz star or, you know, the Audi logo on it, I think there's just a lot to like about it. And you certainly get tons of performance with this 365 horsepower engine. And I like the rear drive package in this. Maybe in Maine, you would prefer the all-wheel drive version. Makes sense for you. But I think in Southern California, this makes a ton of sense. So if you're looking for a compact luxury sedan, don't pass by the Genesis G70. Take a look at this thing, because I think there's tons of value there. And I think you've kind of converted me on the Subaru Ascent, too. I was not as big a proponent as you seem to be of that vehicle. So I think we've got two winners here.
Yeah, I agree.
Some pretty good stuff. And when we come back, we will have a terrific guest for you. And his name is Mike Evanoff. He is a product planner at Hyundai. He'll be talking with us about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. So stay with us for that. He's got a lot to say about that vehicle. Pretty cool vehicle that I drove outside Nashville, Tennessee very recently. So stay with us for that, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road. I got this letter from a reader the other day, and I thought I'd share it with you. I'm on vacation on the beach in Key Biscayne and just finished reading Dance in the Dark. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Great plot and twists I never saw coming. You're really good at creating visual images. Congrats, you made my vacation all that more enjoyable. This is just the kind of feedback an author loves to hear. I'm Jack Nerad, host of America on the Road and the author of Dance in the Dark, a crime novel inspired by true crime. Many have told me that Dance in the Dark has all the realism of Fatal Photographs, my true crime account of the famous bathing suit model murder case. That's great to hear, because Dance in the Dark is filled with suspense, plot twists, and surprises, but at the same time, it's a believable story in the tradition of writers like James M. Cain, Jim Thompson, and Elroy Leonard. Dance in the Dark is available in paperback and Kindle ebook form from Amazon.com, and it's available direct from the publisher emlancey.com as well. If you have a chance, please look for it. If it makes your vacation better, we'll both be happy. That's Dance in the Dark by Jack R. Nerad at Amazon.com or emlancey.com. Thanks for giving it a look. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack Nered with you, and we are on the road, actually, outside Nashville, Tennessee, near the Natchez Trace with Mike Evanoff, product planner at Hyundai.
Yep, great to be with you. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me here, and what a great day.
Yes,
interesting day, and a fascinating product.
Yes.
Hyundai Santa Fe, fifth generation.
Mm-hmm.
Radically different, I think, than previous generations.
Yep.
Give us the high, hard ones about it.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, the Santa Fe nameplate's been incredibly important to Hyundai, you know, since our inception. It's a nameplate that's been in the U.S. for 25 years almost now. And with this fifth generation, you know, the car was designed during COVID times. So that did drive a lot of, you know, influence the designers when they were working on the vehicle, because they did start from the inside out and work from the back forward. And based on, you know, the data and everything, we were seeing that people really, once the pandemic was going to end, people wanted to get out, explore nature, get access to the outside. So a lot of the decisions on the interior and how it's laid out and the space and everything was influenced by that, you know, kind of by that trend that we see coming.
I don't remember a vehicle story that led with the tailgate, but there's a lot of good reasons to talk about the tailgate in the new Santa Fe, because it kind of exemplifies really what you're trying to do with the whole vehicle, though.
Yeah, it's almost like your mobile terrace, your opening or your gateway to the outside. You can let the outside in or the inside out. You know, car camping is becoming very popular, and we, you know, provide plenty of space inside. You know, we want to maximize that cargo capacity. We've got the standard three row or the third row now, and to package that, we had to kind of push everything out to the corners, and you end up with this, you know, more upright, boxy shape that really kind of maximizes your space on the interior.
Well, even hearing the design brief about this today, right? I mean, a box is a great thing to carry stuff in, right?
Yes, it's the most efficient shape,
right? So you exemplify that not only in the overall shape, but mm-hmm. also within the vehicle itself, don't you?
Yeah. So, I mean, that boxy angular theme continues, you know, on the inside, the way the dashboard's laid out, you know, but everything's really intuitive to use, very laid out, very, very nicely. We still have, you know, a lot of physical controls, because we, you know, hear customers daily saying they want, you know, all the physical controls. So we still have a lot of that, you know, on the interior of the vehicle. It's just easier to use, less distraction. A lot of the shape, it both inside and out, it follows that same theme.
Why don't you put the Santa Fe in context for our listeners a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Who does it compete against? Which vehicles does it compete against? About what size is it? That kind of thing.
Yeah, it's, you know, within the Hyundai lineup, you know, it sits right below Palisade. Palisade is our largest SUV. It is also a three row. The last generation Santa Fe was a two row, but we did decide to go three row with this one. And then below Santa Fe, you'll have Tucson, and then Kona, and then Venue. But as far as, you know, Santa Fe, looking at it, you know, not from a vertical standpoint, more from now of a horizontal with competitors.
Right.
You know, we see it, you know, Palisade, you know, would compete more directly with the larger three-row SUVs.
Mm-hmm. And while like Explorer and those kind of vehicles.
Yes, and like Honda Pilot, and so the larger. As far as the Santa Fe is concerned, you know, it competes more with, we see it as the large two rows, but this does have a third row that you can use. I mean, you can stow it. It can be totally out of sight, but you've got a very usable third row when you need it.
And this can be a seven-passenger vehicle in most configurations.
It's a seven-pass. In our the top spec, our calligraphy trim, we have captain's chairs in the second row, so that's a six-passenger configuration. But I think, you know, there's plenty of room for everybody involved inside.
Yeah. Walk us through the interior, because it's a well-done interior, dashboard, all of that. Very efficient use of console space and some innovative features there. Yeah. Walk us through that, if you would.
So I think, you know, sitting from the driver's perspective, you know, you've got, and to me, the width of the center console always conveys a sense of premium, you know, the wider, mm-hmm. the more premium. But, you know, and things like relocating the transmission gear shift selector, which you're used to being, you know, in the center console.
Yeah, and ate up a lot of real estate.
It does
right?
eat up a lot of real estate and a lot of componentry that goes underneath it and to support it. You know, you can transfer to a shift by wire system like we have in some of our vehicles, and that frees up some space, but it still takes up real estate. So that's been relocated to the steering column. Very intuitive, you know, with the rotate forward for drive, back for reverse. But then that frees up that center console. On the top calligraphy trim, we've got dual, you know, wireless chargers there. We've got plenty of storage underneath. The center console itself, I find very, you know, intriguing. It's a good show of attention to detail from the design. designers, because it actually opens, you know, not like a traditional, you know, center console, but then also for your second and third row passengers, they get their own hinge and they can open up.
Fascinating. And really, like you say, so very thoughtful.
At the same time, very simple too.
Yeah.
And then even with that, we still allow for storage underneath. There's a slide out drawer that provides storage as well. I think there's something like 16 total cup holders throughout the vehicles. I did some joke originally. It was like 2.3 cup holders per seat, depending on the configuration. Not only the cup holders, but that's place to put your stuff. You know, I spent the night and I wanted to experience it. I did car camping in it. You know, my
now,
phone.
Where did fitting. You? I was curious about that. Where did you actually go camping?
I went to O'Neill Regional Park.
Okay.
In Santiago Canyon, Tribuco Canyon area. Yeah. So went out there, found a really nice spot. You know, $20 for the night. You know, had a fire pit, picnic table, everything we could have wanted.
Nice. Yeah, you and your wife got a mattress for the
My wife and I. We took our small dog. We bought a mattress the night before. Did the same thing that the designers talked about. You know, we did the stops on the way, the camping store, the grocery store, the Starbucks. You know, everything fit in the vehicle, and it was a really pleasurable experience, and one I'm going to duplicate again and again.
Yeah. Well, it was fascinating, too, to see, again, the attention to detail from the designers, the interior designers specifically, in terms of gathering various things that vehicles like this would tote, right?
Yes.
Where people would want to transport with them.
Right.
And it's a laundry list of stuff.
Right.
And then finding places within the vehicle to put them, right? Interesting stuff.
And as we saw, I mean, they went through a real involved process by actually recreating fifth scale models of all these components, and they would, you know, kind of track how, you know, the steps people would take before they left, you know, for the weekend getaway, and how that all would integrate into the car. Just talking with them and going and seeing the thought that went into it, I wanted to experience it myself, and they definitely did their homework.
Yeah, and you had a good time on that.
Yeah, absolutely. It was beautiful. Yeah. It rained that night, but it was fine. We were inside the car.
Yeah.
It was all good.
I like being inside the car when it's raining.
Yeah, it is.
Much better
is
than being in a tent.
It's very true.
Being in a tent. Yep. Well, we haven't talked about powertrain at all, but you have an interesting powertrain story. Walk us through that.
Yep. So for this fifth generation, we have actually a standard 2.5-liter turbocharged engine. Puts out 277 horsepower and 311 pound-feet of torque. If you're familiar with the outgoing Santa Fe, it's a little bit different than that model. We had two gasoline engines. We had the normally aspirated 2.5 and then the 2.5 turbo was available in the higher trims. So we make that was available in the higher trims before the standard engine, because you know Santa Fe is larger, and with size comes a little bit of mass, and you have that third row. So there's other, you know, there's factors that involve into that. So to make sure that customer experience is what we expect, we decided to make the larger engine the standard engine. Mm-hmm. But then we do have an efficient hybrid option, which is basically a $500 premium above the gas model for the relative trim, and that's a 1.6-liter turbocharged, also hybrid, that gives you 36 miles per gallon combined in front-wheel drive and 34 miles combined for the all-wheel drive hybrid. You're well over 600 miles of range with that configuration.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
Very, very fuel efficient, because it is more boxy and upright, but it is actually more aerodynamic than the outgoing model, and that all factors into that fuel economy.
Yeah. Number one, with that kind of premium, probably the payback period on that hybrid is pretty quick, especially Southern California, where we drive and we're paying $4.50 a gallon.
I'm jealous driving around here and seeing $3.50 for gas. I wish it was like that, but
crazy,
you know,
crazy.
It is what it is.
Well, we really haven't talked about styling per se, right?
Mm-hmm,
but it
mm-hmm.
is an important aspect of this vehicle.
Yeah,
it
absolutely.
It is boxy. It is purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
Much less. Pretty, mm-hmm, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more masculine, if you mm-hmm. will. Talk a bit about that.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think it conveys also a very capable image.
Mm-hmm.
You know, function for this interior space drives a lot of the boxiness in it. But you know, they still spent a lot of attention to the details with, you know, the aerodynamics and how the glass is mounted flush. We have that C-pillar assist handle that is flush mounted into the side on the side of the vehicle that help you gain access to the roof. You know, the wheel and tire combinations, we go from an 18-inch all the way up to a 21-inch, depending on which trim you have. The H motif is a big part of the design.
It's
language.
All over this thing.
So we have H's, you know, basically through the light signature in the front, the light signature in the rear, that carries over into the signature lighting on the inside on the dash, throughout the air vents, everything, you know, that H symbol and motif definitely permeates throughout the entire vehicle.
Yeah. Is there trepidation when you radically change the exterior styling of the vehicle as radically as you've changed it here?
And you don't see it very often. I mean, there's especially when you're in your one in your fifth generation.
And this was a very successful product. It's not like this wasn't
an absolute need to. I think the design, they just challenged themselves to really once again maximize that space on the inside, and this is what you end up with. And in our research, we research owners of competitive products and our own products, Santa Fe in particular, and we found them just as receptive, positively to the all new version, if not a little bit more. So I don't see any indication that they'd be alienated with the change. I think it's changed for the better, and that's always a good thing.
Well, it's hard not to see Land Rover in it too, and that's not a bad thing to be have something that's very elevated in price and you look a lot like that to the extent that maybe some people might mistake it for a Land Rover. So that's not a bad thing either. Yeah. We haven't talked about infotainment dash approach. I'm kind of skipping back and forth, I guess, between interior and exterior, but tell us about that.
Technology is always a key component for us, and we work very hard to make it as easy and intuitive. I don't like necessarily technology for technology's sake sometimes, especially with our infotainment systems and our display. They're wrapped, they're housed in basic dual 12.3 inch areas that they're curved. It's a panoramic curve. That kind of surrounds the driver, kind of keeps them, but doesn't alienate the passenger at the same time. Shows attention to the driver.
Better integrated than maybe the Ioniq 5 was
similar, but maybe I think the curvature does give it a little bit more upscale feeling, I believe. So, but it's very easy to use. We have navigation on most of the trims, but even without navigation, you still have the 12.3 inch display. You have HD radio, Sirius XM, all your streaming capabilities on the apps and everything. So it's a very seamless integration with your life.
And the upscale system now has wireless Android Auto and Apple CarPlay.
With this new generation of infotainment, we have wireless throughout. So regardless of whether it's navigation, non-navigation, 100% of Santa Fe has wireless connectivity for that.
I'm so glad that I don't have to ask that question
anymore. We've heard you loud and clear. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Three row.
Yes.
I mean, tell us the rationale for that.
Yeah, I mean, Palisade with us, I mean, if you go back a couple generations in Santa Fe, we had Santa Fe and Santa Fe Sport. One was three-row, one was a two-row. Yeah. We made the decision to go two-row for this last generation. But, with the success and how well Palisade's been received in the marketplace and having the opportunity making this car larger and to be able to package for that third row, we decided to offer, also a three-row because we've expanded our two-row SUV lineup as well with, Venue and Kona and Tucson. So we've got that well covered. We feel we wanted to cover the three-row side as well.
I mean, over the last, 10 years or so, you have really added to the SUV portfolio, CUV portfolio, and it's been really successful for you, hasn't it?
Yes, it has, absolutely. I mean, our mix of SUV runs anywhere from, it was high as 80%, last year, to 75%, so we hover in that area. It just shows just the breadth of the portfolio on the SUV side. We've got a lot of the segments covered, but sedans are still important, too. That's how Hyundai started, was with sedans. So with Sonata and Elantra, they still are very important to our portfolio as well.
And when we come back, we'll have more from Hyundai's Mike Ivanoff about the all-new 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. So stay with us. We'll be right back right here on America on the Road. Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris Teague. This is Jack Neared back with you, and we're in the midst of talking with Mike Ivanoff of Hyundai about the all-new Santa Fe. So let's continue with that.
Give us a little bit nuts and bolts. You don't have to go real specific, but in terms of price and availability of that.
So starts at just under $34,000, so $33,950 for the front-wheel drive SE trim, all the way up to about $47,000. For the calligraphy front-wheel drive. So all in on the ICE side for the calligraphy with all-wheel drive, you're sitting right about $50,000, and then plus destination maybe just a little bit over.
For our listeners, that's with conventional engines. Internal combustion.
Internal combustion engines. And then, like I said, the hybrid premium is $500. A little bit less horsepower, but more fuel efficient. So it's a little bit of a trade-off there. But even in my experience with the hybrid, it's It's very manageable. It's tremendous around town, you know, good torque, very good pickup, but you get the benefit of the fuel economy
and
as well.
And multiple trim levels for both,
yes.
Including, I think you added calligraphy. To the hybrid?
Yeah, so 5 on the gasoline Santa Fe and 3 on the hybrid. Calligraphy used to be gasoline only. That was on the gasoline side. We listened to our customers and our dealers, very important, yeah. And they wanted an even higher spec hybrid version, so we've added calligraphy to the hybrid side as well this year.
And all-wheel drive available across the board?
All-wheel drive available on all trims. The only caveat I will give with that is the XRT trim. Given its more focus on off-road capability, all-wheel drive is standard with the XRT trim.
Yeah, yep. Tell us a little bit about that. I think I'm about to drive that.
About to experience it.
Yeah, momentarily.
So XRT, we've launched, starting with the last couple of years, we've got them on Tucson. We had it on the last generation Santa Fe. But with this generation, we wanted to add more capability to it. And I'm happy to say this is the first Hyundai model, the XRT is, that's fitted with all-terrain tires. It's got Continental all-terrain tires. Also, the suspension has been lifted, so it's got increased ground clearance, about 1.3 inches more clearance. Also, increasing towing capacity through more cooling through the front. So we have 4,500 pounds on the XRT. Other little things visually on the exterior. Black accents, the black wheels. Little things to differentiate it. But we wanted to add some function and differentiate it even more from the rest of the vehicles.
And XRT will be available with the others essentially now.
Yes,
in dealership.
Yeah, on sale now. XRT is kind of positioned in the middle of the line. Not the entry SESEL, but right in the mid, right below.
And
the
hybrid comes a little later, am I right?
Hybrid will start production very soon, and you will see that in the next month or so starting to hit dealers.
And they're all built in the United States in Alabama.
All built in our Alabama plant in Montgomery. Probably, the hybrid and the gasoline versions, and so just right down the road from here.
Exciting. Well, thanks so much for having me here and sharing all this about the new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Yep, I hope you enjoy your time here.
Mike Evanoff, thanks so much for being
great.
With us.
Thank you very much. Great to be with you.
And that was our interview with Mike Evanoff of Hyundai on the all-new 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Our thanks to Mike for joining us. And this has been a wild week, hasn't it, Chris? I mean, we have the New York Auto Show going on. Jeep is introducing vehicles up in Moab. We're liable to see a new EV brand out here. Dealers are kind of cranky. A lot going on, isn't there?
There's a lot going on. I think the news this week seems less dire than in weeks past. there's nobody's standing up and screaming about the sky falling this week, although it's only, it's pretty early in the week at this point in time. So we'll have to see. But I'm excited to see what else comes out of the New York Auto Show. There's a couple things coming from Genesis that I'm very excited about. But a lot of things going on.
Yeah, and we'll have more about that in next week's show, I'm certain. So stay with us when we come back for that show. And before we go, I'd like to mention my newest book, Dance in the Dark. It's a crime thriller inspired by true crime. Crime, of course, is a passion of mine. I don't commit too many. Maybe a few speeding violations here and there, but that's about it. But I do follow crime, and so I think you might enjoy this book if you follow true crime. It's available at Amazon in both ebook and paperback form. And if you like our show, please pass it on. We'd love you to pass it on to others. Our podcast is growing in numbers day by day, so we're excited about that, and we have you to thank for that. So please listen on this radio station each week. Let your friends know where you listen to this, and pass along a podcast. And those are easy to come by, aren't they, Chris?
They are. A quick Google search for America on the Road podcast will bring us on all the major platforms right to your screen, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and so on. So pick your favorite, download, follow, and leave us a review. It'll help us out big time.
We would love that very much. That would be very, very nice, and we appreciate that. Our thanks to the Sports Byline Network stations for carrying America on the Road. And most of all, thanks to you for listening to America on the Road. We know you have a lot of choices of things to listen to, so the fact you've listened to us for an hour or so, it honors us, and we appreciate that. So join us again right here again next time for another edition of America on the Road. Inner peace, self-respect, emotional fulfillment. Are you finding these worthwhile goals difficult to achieve? Are you looking for success and satisfaction in your job but not finding it? Are you thinking about starting a business but don't know what will set it apart from all the others? You can continue to struggle on your own, or you can unleash the undeniable power of the GR Factor. I'm Jack R. Nered, host of America on the Road. For years, I've found success in business and in my personal life by using the concepts I outline clearly in my book, The GR Factor. Your best self is inside you right now, just waiting to be unleashed. Inspiring all that is the best in you, The GR Factor will guide your journey, elevate your game, recast your relationships, and transform your daily life. If you want to change your life for the better, read The GR Factor. It's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at emlancey.com. That's The GR Factor by Jack R. Nered. Thanks for checking it out.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.